Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenez. I'm your co-host, Steve K9 Kim, and joining me from the beautiful city of San Francisco, where he's left his heart, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. Mr. Montoya, hello there.
Happy Monday, man. You know, I knew we had the show at 4 o'clock today, so you know what I didn't do? I didn't ride around on a motorcycle today, just to top that off. We'll get to that more in depth later.
You are so insensitive. That is not classy, young man. But anyway, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll take your phone calls in about 15 to 20 minutes. If you want to send us a question via Twitter, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. We're here for at least 90 minutes and possibly going all the way up to 2 hours, although I got to be honest with you, based on the subject matter today, I'm betting on the under and not the over. But let's get started in round number one on the home box office from the Oracle of Oakland, California. Light heavyweights in action. Andre Ward remains undefeated by shutting out the overmatched and under-talented Alexander Brand. The three scores across the board, 120 to 108. And now, November 19th, the showdown is set. Andre Ward takes on the crusher, Sergey Kovalev. Gabe, as you look at this fight, it had very, very low expectations. Did it live down to every single one of them?
It did. It was every bit as terrible. And, you know, it wasn't – I'm a big believer. Like, people will look at a Rigondeaux fight and – no matter what happens, like, they're expecting boring, and no matter what happens, they say it's boring. But with Andre Ward, this was, as you said, he remained undefeated and unexciting. I mean, he did have Murat Akar essentially in front of him, a guy that just didn't want to open up, could probably feel the levels, the difference in class, and just never got untracked. And that's probably to Andre Ward's credit that he didn't let the fight get away from him. But, it just was horrible to watch, dude. It was really every bit as painful as I expected.
Now, are you sitting down, Gabe?
I am.
Okay, because for the second straight week, I'm going to kind of defend Andre Ward. Last week that Alexander Brand was the last suitable opponent that would take the money or the terms that were being offered. There were other fighters like Shabransky, Nathan Cleverly, that turned down better deals. And for whatever reasons, and I'm not making a judgment, I'm not their accountant, I'm not their manager, I don't know their thinking, they decided to bypass this opportunity. Number two, there's this thought process that HBO chose this fight, and because of that, Crawford Postol ended up on pay-per-view. As I wrote today in my column on UCN Live, they only paid a fraction of the purses. I'm hearing about $300,000. So there's not a cause and effect with this particular date and what happened July 23rd. Also, in my ultimate somewhat semi-defense of Andre Ward, no one can look good against Alexander Brand. I like to say of guys like him, he can make the Mona Lisa look ugly. And that's just the bottom line. Much like a Victor Postol with Terrence Crawford, how many guys are actually in exciting, aesthetically pleasing fights against Alexander Brand? And Andre Ward is what he is. There are certain fighters, like a Sergey Kovalev, for instance, when they don't knock out a Isaac Chalemba, no matter how respected and solid he is expected to stop people. He is defined by knockouts and stoppages, while Andre Ward has a different type of dominance, and it's about controlling the action, controlling the distance, controlling the tempo, and mastering his opponent. And he did that. He literally did not lose 1 second of this fight. But with that being said, there's a certain reality, Gabe, and I don't know how this pay-per-view is going to do. I don't know how they're going to market it. I don't know where the pay-per-view business is right now, post May 2nd, 2015. But I ask you this very simple question, Gabe, as a very interested observer who's still very much a fan. Based on the last two tune-up fights of Kovalev and Ward, are you more or less excited about that fight on November 19th?
You know, it's kind of a push. See, I mean, these two fights, how I felt about the fight, you know, between them, the last two fights didn't really change a lot for me, with the exception of I was a little surprised at seeing Kovalev get touched up a little bit, have a little bit of trouble. But, you know, it didn't move the needle all that much. It just kind of reminded me that, you know, picking that kind of boxer-puncher guy that – it seems no frills, but then, you know, he's kind of missing a certain athleticism or something. Betting on that guy is always kind of dangerous when you're dealing with a fighter like Andre Ward or like a Bernard Hopkins. I always think of Trinidad. I think it's a very similar matchup in some ways. You know, you can't penalize Andre Ward for this fight. You're absolutely right. Brand was a reluctant opponent, and on top of that, he's an awkward opponent. So at a certain point, it was like a little bit of the silent agreement in there. And it really wasn't Ward's fault. What is he supposed to do, sell out completely to get the knockout? You know, he ended up getting the rounds. As he told Radio Raheem, you know, Virgil Hunter, his trainer, heading into the rounds, and he was saying, you know, I want to get the knockout. And instead, he ended up getting the rounds. And it just is what it is. But I think this is a tough sell fight. The brand fight, you know, for fans, it was just a tune-up. It's Andre shaking more rust off. But the Kovalev Ward fight, we all knew what it's going to be. I think people want to buy it. I think of the pay-per-view fights that are going to be available, you know, the next three, say, this is the most appealing and the most relevant. So I think people will still buy it. I don't think anybody's going to get turned away. Do you?
No, I don't. I think, again, if we're going with the purest standpoint of what's the best fight, which fight has the two highest caliber fighters, which has the best odds, which has the most truly on the line, there's no doubt about it. It's November 19th. I look at the fights with Manny Pacquiao and the one with Miguel Cotto as what I call 401k fights. It's these multimillionaires finishing out contracts, adding to their retirement fund. This here is an old-fashioned fight. Now, do I think it's going to be a Gaddy Ward? No, because Andre Ward's involved. And it's not what he is, but these are two guys that I think are among the top five or six fighters in the world. They're both very, very accomplished, and a lot is on the line. And that in itself should be appreciated. But again, with Andre Ward, I do believe there's a mob mentality. And again, I can't believe I'm defending him as much as I am. And quite frankly, Gabe, I don't even know who I am right now. But this
like
is what we should have expected. And Andre Ward is a guy that is a strategist. He doesn't play Parcheesi or checkers. He plays chess, much like the way a Terrence Crawford did against Victor Postol. And this is what we should have expected. But with that said, from a marketing standpoint, if you're Roc Nation and you're the management of Andre Ward, I think they would have been much better off facing a more conventional, fundamentally sound fighter in Shawnee Monahan, and actually trying to look good, not just dominating over rounds, but actually putting an exclamation point on things. But again, with the way they lowballed Monahan, that simply was not going to happen. But with that said, everything is set. There's a press event for Sergey Kovalev tomorrow in the L.A. area, and this fight will happen. And for all the talk that Andre Ward's going to back out, let me just tell you something. Short of him being hit by a bolt of lightning, okay, I think the fight's going to happen. I do understand the skepticism and the doubt that Andre Ward will actually show up because, again, I get it. It wouldn't be the first time he didn't care about a binding contract, but from what my understanding is going back to last year when this deal was first formulated, there's no backing out. If he wants to be on HBO and he wants to continue his career making this type of money – he will show up and he will face Sergey Kovalev. And looking ahead, and we have plenty of time to talk about this, Gabe, who do you favor right now? What's your gut feel on Ward Kovalev?
You know, Ward, I just think he's going to outbox him in a really tight one. You know, I like a lot about Kovalev. He's got good feet, good sense of range. He mixes up his punches, and they just seem kind of effortless. You know, he's not one of these guys who's just digging in his heels with every shot. It's like he can be a little off balance and catch you and knock you out. But I tend to think that if his power isn't super effective on Andre Ward, then he's going to get picked apart and pot-shotted. In a way, are we ordering up post-Al Crawford 2.0 with this fight? We're
no.
setting ourselves up for disaster?
No, I don't. I'll tell you why. Crawford and Ward, I see them being analogous. I don't see Postol and Kovalev, because I thought Postol got a lot of credit for being the second best junior welterweight in the world. But we have to put this in perspective. It's not like he was Costa Zoo or Vince Phillips. He just happened to be a guy that had a really good night against maybe a fading, aging fighter in Lucas Matisse, who was a fan favorite and to a certain degree might have been overvalued. Again, Gabe, the odds makers are the real experts, not me, you, or anyone else.
That's true.
They had him as a bigger underdog than Kell Brook against Gennady Golovkin. That right there to me is very telling. And from an offensive standpoint, listen, Postol is a poker, he's a prodder, and he kind of pecks and he hunts. Kovalev is more of a savage, and I think he brings much more offensive firepower and therefore much more danger. Gabe, moving on here, some news and notes before we take your calls in about 9-10 minutes. That number again, 347-215-7598. Gabe, it seems to me like Manny Pacquiao is going to fight Jesse Vargas November 5th. Here's what I find interesting. Bob Arum and Mike Conz, they need to get their story straight because they're not on the same page. This reminds me of that really bad political campaign where the candidate is saying one message and he's completely being contradicted by the campaign manager. I mean, Mike Conz is already announcing Jesse Vargas has been approved by Manny Pacquiao, and I think that's the guy that makes the choice. And then he's saying, well, we might even go to Dubois. Well, Bob Arum is still holding on to this thing. Well, we might still consider Crawford, and no, it's going to be at the Thomas and Mack. Gabe, what the hell is going on there?
I don't know. Is that a Conz trajectory? That always seems strange to me that he is at once this kind of insider and will say something that's completely opposite of what Bob – maybe it's just his kind of way of like Pat Riley-ing or Phil Jackson-ing, putting out what he wants, you know, in order to get it. It'll kind of move the needle in his direction. I don't know. It seems strange, though. But that's Manny. It's like he's like Elvis. You know, everybody else is making decisions for the guy. Meanwhile, he's trying to bring back the death penalty.
Yeah, speaking of which, I got to tell you, I know that Manny lives in a different country with different norms, different customs and traditions, and I'm not going to be that arrogant American who believes our ways of doing things from the legal and justice system are the right way, because quite frankly, our system is also flawed. But some of these things that he is saying, such as making jokes about hanging by saying, oh, you could always just say the chair slipped out. And he's saying this in a very public forum. The issue is he might be a politician and a policymaker in the Philippines, but he's trying to sell to an American public. And he's already cut into his business with what he said about the gay and lesbians, which, again, that's his opinion. But I'll say this. Senator Pacquiao has been bad for business. It's a bad look. And let me tell you something. The media cannot be hypocrites about this. If we're going to bring up Floyd Mayweather's domestic issues and some of his personal travails, which I thought were fair game given that he's a public figure, you know what's funny? Say what you want about Floyd. He's never made jokes or statements this vile.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The one thing I'm happy about with politician Pacquiao is that he's not here making policy. He's scary. some of the stuff he's saying, just that joke. And, you know, I don't know how much people, we can get off the subject pretty fast, but if you're following what's been going on in the Filipino politics, they pretty much elected what they've been calling their version of Donald Trump to president. And this guy is like, he's running a drug war where he basically said, like, it's all good. If you find a drug dealer, kill him. And like something like 300 or 400 people have been killed in this kind of open war on drugs. Kind of spooky over there. But, you know, look at us. So, anyway, that was your politics moment on the next.
Moving on with the next round, one other thing before we take your calls and read the tweets. Yesterday, Felix Verdejo got into a motorcycle accident in Puerto Rico. Gabe, let me just say this. I'm taking some heat for a tweet where I said that motorcycle crash is the most exciting thing he's been involved in in about a year. I get it. It may have been out of bounds. I was in bad taste. I couldn't resist. I apologize. However, here's my point. As an athlete who uses his body, and as you pointed out, is already in a sport where there's enough head trauma and danger, and there's a long history of athletes who have learned the hard way, from Paul Williams to James Blackgold Schuler and Kellen Winslow, whose careers and lives were adversely affected to different degrees. When you take that risk, it's like a guy who smokes. When you get emphysema, after all the information and evidence that's out there, yeah, call me a heartless bastard. Sorry, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you. It's just the way it is with me. Am I wrong?
You know, no, you're not wrong. I get it. You know, like, you know, I tweeted out something that may have been construed as a joke, but it was just how I felt about it. It was like, you know, why do you ride a motorcycle? Well, I like to live on the edge. Dude, you're a boxer. You know, I mean, for one, your whole being, your whole job depends on your body being healthy so that you can fight and make money. And you're kind of beholden when you're a guy like Felix Verdejo, who's not just like a regular Joe with a side job trying to eke it out. And, you know, he's a guy that people are spending a lot of money to market and build around. He's kind of a franchise player. So to put yourself at risk like that, it's just irresponsible. Particularly, you know, he kind of went from a potential train wreck or just kind of a guy that ends up being an also-ran. And he's also, you know, had the hand injury. So you're already looking like a question mark. And then you show that you're not going to really be responsible, a responsible business owner. Like, you know, it's not even the same level, but it's the same level of commitment. I don't do anything like I'm contracted to do this play. We start August 17th rehearsal. I'm contracted through November 20th, and I sign a contract. But what's unwritten on there is that I'm not going to go spar boxing or jiu-jitsu anymore. I'm not going to skydive if that's what I want. I'm not going to put myself at any unnecessary risk just to satisfy some need of mine. You've got to be responsible to the people that are paying your bills on some level. And he's not. I mean, you know, if you're upset at gallows humor like you tweeted in boxing, then you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, no, don't follow me. Don't follow me because trust me, I'll get followers. trust me, I have a few. I don't have as many as Mario Lopez, but I have a few. And the other issue is he's been in boring fights. It's been a recurring punchline.
Yes.
And he didn't die, okay? I kind of made sure he was going to be okay, but there's that old line. And I think it was from Spider-Man. To whom much is given, much is expected. If that bothers you so much, A, that's your problem, and B, stop following me. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. And one last thing about Verdejo, there had been a lot of talk that he was going to be on that Pacquiao versus TBA undercard. There was speculation he was going to fight for the WBO title against Terry Flanagan. But, you know, just looking at it logically, I think that has gone to Bolivian. And again, they may not say it publicly, but there had been a lot of issues where Top Rank was becoming very concerned about the overall focus. And let me just say this. Part of being great at anything is giving a damn and sacrificing things. Riding a motorcycle, again, and I'm a big fan of Verdejo. No one can say otherwise, okay? I've been a big advocate of this young man. But even I wonder, does he care enough? Anyway, let's go to some of the tweets here. And, of course, the president is dropping in first. He is our Ricky Henderson. Let me cue that up here. He says, what do you think John David Jackson has in mind to prepare for the Ward fight? No doubt Kovalev will be more focused than the last camp. Gabe, I think it all starts off, like the Hopkins fight, with the jab and controlling Ward's movements and his quickness with the stick. I think it all starts from there.
There's no question. And it's, you know, you can't end up following Ward around and letting him dictate where you fight. So you're right. It's like take center stage, center ring, and just and dictate everything off that jab. But also, you know, you've got pretty decent feet. Move around, you know, draw him to you a little bit. Get Ward, you know, coming forward a little bit. Keep him off balance. It's going to be a lot of ebb and flow and chess to this. But I think above all is to not fight tight, to be Sergey Kovalev, and to just go out there and do what you do, which is just knock fools out, beat them down with your power shots, let your hands go. If he comes out there and he's staring at him, and or we start hearing that, you know, Sergey's, oh, I'm just as good of a boxer and I'm going to try to box with him, oh, shit. You know, he's going to be in trouble. But if he goes out there looking to take him out like he does every opponent, he'll be in good shape.
Here's one from Tyrone Johnson. Was Saturday night the worst 12-round fight you have ever seen? It was awful but slightly amusing in ways. I'll say this about Twitter. It's the greatest thing that's happened to bad fights is that on Twitter you could start becoming a comedian. It is kind of – it is funny to actually just rip a fight. It's almost like, what was that show, Mystery Science Theater 3000, where those three guys were just lampooning all the bad films, B films of the 70s? That's what it becomes like. I thought the most amusing part of this HBO broadcast was the fawning over Ward by the usual suspects, Gabe.
Oh, Max Kellerman was just – it was, you know, Jim wasn't selling it. I think Jim has actually become more of like a truth teller and more – he just doesn't speak just to hear himself talk the way Max Kellerman does. It's like he's afraid of just looking at the fight, letting it speak for itself, commenting on it. He's just got to chatter and chatter and chatter, make excuses for why certain things aren't happening in the fight. I mean, you know, no one was expecting – you know, expecting Andre Ward to be a knockout artist all of a sudden, like, you should just get mad at yourself for being disappointed. But the way Max was just selling things, it just, God, it was making it worse. But was it the worst 12-round fight? No. I could probably just close my eyes, run my finger down the resume of John Ruiz and find something worse.
You know what? If you did a big coffee table book, a Time Life, remember those Time Life series that always advertised in the afternoon? The Time Life series of worst 12-round fights of all time. That would be in there, though. It would be. Easy Ed Anderson. Easy Ed from the UK, traveling around, not able to call us for a while. He chimes in. Hopkins beat the shit out of Franks and Hakkar. What the F was Ward doing in there? Unacceptable. Can he negate Kovalev's jab? We shall find out November 19th. And here's one from Joshua. Would Peter Nelson remain a man of the people and by Salido Miura? Now, Gabe, I don't know if you're seeing this, but I'm orchestrating a great Twitter battle between Egas Klimas and Sean Gibbons, the representatives of Vasyl Lomachenko and Orlando Salido. And, you know, I've always said, you should negotiate a fight through the press, unless, of course, it's through me. But with that said, if you can't make Lomachenko Salido too, Salido against Miura, you know what? Sign me up for some of that.
Oh, there's no question. It's an unspoken part of the job, Steve, to lobby for great fights if you can. So, you know, that's not I don't think you're going to get, you know, sued for torturous interference there. I think it's a great fight, you know. Do you think Salido's side is out of line for what they're asking?
You know what? I don't know what they're asking for. That's the thing. I do know that Lomachenko's minimum is right around 800 to 850 from what I've been told. So I figure that Salido's side said, wait a minute, we're the bigger draw. We've been in four fight of the years. We beat you the first time. I think at the very least they're asking for purse parity, which, you know, honestly, again, I'm not a manager. I'm not E.F. Hutton. Never worked at Bear Stearns. I don't think that's unreasonable. I really don't. So here's a question from Frank. Oh, what's currently going on with Louis Ortiz and Golden Boy? promotions. The best way I could put it, Gabe, is Louis Ortiz is a Cuban boxer, and with Cuban boxers come issues. I am not surprised by this at all.
Now, as I understand it, he's trying to now get away, or there's some sort of Cuban fighter issue.
Yeah.
can we start
talking
about
Louis Ortiz?
Again?
He's a Cuban boxer. He's a Cuban boxer, you know.
It's a shame, never fails. He's not your typical guy in that. You know, he's fun to watch. I enjoy, you know, he's offensive-minded. Nobody wants anything to do with the guy, and it's just a shame, you know, once again, that they're in this kind of situation. But, you know, maybe he can defect to Al and get some fights. Maybe Richard Schaefer will sign him.
Here's the last one from DJ Macadocious. Aren't all of these upcoming pay-per-views a bad look for boxing? Boxing has just killed me off. I'll say it again. It's been a mantra. Post May 2nd, 2015, I think you need to reevaluate the pay-per-view business. And I agree. Having a possibility, Gabe, from November 5th, November 19th, and December 3rd with Pacquiao, Kovalev, Ward, and Cotto. 3 and 5 weeks, yeah, that's overkill. I don't know how else you can describe it.
Yeah, why would you want to do that to my wallet at the end of the year, you know? I'm like, it's Christmas, it's New Year's, you know, Thanksgiving, my anniversary, you know? It's like, it's just brutal. You know, that many pay-per-views in a row, it just doesn't make any sense. And on top of that, those three pay-per-views, those would be the main event is like the best fight. Everything else is, well, you know, what they're going to give you, or they're developing some guys, or it's not going to be anything that blows your mind, you know? So on top of it all, it's an expensive product that isn't really that great.
Well, I know what Rock Nation's going to bring me. They're going to bring me Yandel, so which means I'm going to pack my earmuffs.
Holy God.
For that night,
yeah,
at the T-Mobile Arena. And by the way, with Miguel Cotto, I'm hearing dance partners like your personal favorite, James Kirkland, and even Lamont Peterson. And I'm like, come on. I mean,
yeah,
and
I
kind of like the Kirkland fight, but the issue with Kirkland again is, does he not ever get a chance to actually do a comeback the correct way, Gabe?
I guess not. I mean, it just feels like he's going for like a quick fix of a few hundred grand and that, you know, I'll get well now. I mean, and I don't, you know, I'm just, it just doesn't make any sense. To me, it says you're not really serious about your boxing career. You're still living off of some of the fights that you've had and, you know, you're entertaining an offer. But what does that say about Miguel Cotto? I mean, these fights are straight to video. What the hell? I mean,
whoa,
you know,
when it's all said and done, Rock Nation, they didn't just inherit toxic assets. They created them. This is one of the most mismanaged companies ever. I mean, honestly, they almost look, SMS promotions of 50 Cent look like a well-oiled promotional machine. I just, again, they did it to themselves. 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a tweet, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya for at least another hour. Gabe, let's go to the phone lines.
Is the difference between those two companies that one actually put on shows of their own, finally?
You know what? You're right. But you know what? This is a joke that I was meaning to break out when they finally go out of business. But, Gabe, what's the difference between Rock Nation Sports and Boxing and the Titanic?
What?
The Titanic only had one iceberg. Ta-da-ta! But anyway, with that, let's get to the phone lines. I'm here all week.
702, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up? This is your resident rock star, Robert Ortiz. How are you guys doing this week?
Robert, what's going on?
Well, you know, I just want to first just say, you know, even though it looks like he's going to be all right, you know, my prayers are with Felix Verdejo. My parents are both Harley Davidson riders, and, you know, my aunt's been in a bad accident once before. So, you know, I understand, you know, what it is to have that be part of your life and, you know, almost completely end your life. You know, I've had that near in my family. So, you know, my deepest sympathies with him. Hopefully he gets back in shape and gets back in the ring sooner than later, you know. So there's
what
that.
What is it? What is the motorcycle thing? Is it kind of like the gun thing? Like, you just either you're all in or you're all you just don't get it.
I personally don't know. I mean, like I said, my parents, right? I enjoy it when I go with them, but that's just their thing. I don't know. It's just that's how they like to travel. It's just different. I don't know. You feel the wind. It feels one with nature. They go out with their friends and stuff. And I don't know. That's just something that they enjoy doing. I understand that there's probably more inherent risk. Like I said, my aunt was in a bad accident. Paul Williams, Felix Verdejo, you know. So it's you take that risk, but I guess you take the risk anytime you get behind any wheel. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you because I don't have that, you know.
Yeah, so, Rob, what was your thoughts on the Ward Brand fight?
Well, actually, unfortunately, as I told you guys last week, I had to cancel my HBO subscription because I was not able to, you know, it's just a lot of money. And if I'm going to be getting fights where it's like Ward versus a guy that you perceived as a 500-1 underdog, and if the only good fights are going to be on pay-per-view, it's just not really worth it when my wife can't watch Game of Thrones because it's, you know, it's on hiatus right now until next season. But I did want to talk about the next fight, and that is Kovalev Ward, because damn, at least the silver lining in this just horrible, just completely god awful mismatch that should never been sanctioned to begin with is that now we get the big one, you know. Now we get the big one. We get to pay $70 for it, and I'm stoked though. That's something that I will gladly pay for. I'll never pay $10 a month to watch what took place on Saturday. But this I will definitely pay $70 for. And I got to say, Ward has so much more to gain than Sergey Kovalev in this, because the reason why is he's been so inactive for his legal reasons, whatever. And then, you know, his two comeback fights have been just such subpar opposition that we don't really know what Andre Ward is anymore. We know he's still really good. We still know he's great. But we don't know if he truly is still, you know, one of the top 5 pound-for-pound guys. And we do know that Sergey Kovalev is. So I think Andre Ward has so much more to gain. And Sergey Kovalev, not so much, because if he beats him, well, Andre Ward moved up in weight and he wasn't as effective. He had a long layoff. He hasn't been facing good opposition. So maybe you kind of saw that coming. And I think it's going to be open to, you know, people are going to denigrate that if Kovalev is able to knock him out. But if Ward wins, I believe he is absolutely number one pound for pound, because I rate Kovalev very, very highly. What do you guys think about that assessment?
I think they both have a lot to gain. Personally, I think Kovalev still needs that star building performance. And
well,
I don't know how much more you'd value this over, let's say, a 49-50-year-old Bernard Hopkins, but, you know, becoming the first guy to beat a master boxer and strategist like Ward, I don't care who's moving up in weight, because Ward is a big guy. People forget he fought at 178 as an amateur. This might be his more natural weight. So that, to me, will not be discounted, a victory by Kovalev.
I'll tell you, when I saw him briefly at Victor's gym, I was like, did he grow? He is every bit a light heavyweight. He's a big man, and I don't think that he's going to get pushed around. He looks comfortable at the weight. This is going to be a tough fight, and I think it could be not just defining for the guys in the short term, but, you know, just overall. I mean, this could end up being a series. If both are as good as we think they are, at the place they're at in their career, you know, we could get a classic. We could get a rematch out of it, or a trilogy out of it. Although, you know, hopefully it doesn't take as long to get to it as it, you know, to those other fights as it did to this one. But I don't know. I think I agree with you, Steve. They both have a lot to lose here. Because, I mean, a 50-year-old Hopkins, okay, that's great. You know, Pascal, he'd been beaten before. You know, but this will be something special for Kovalev, and it really defines him and makes him a truly legit guy. All that pound for pound stuff, I mean, until you face a contemporary, it doesn't really mean anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Robert, thank you for the call.
I kind of agree with what you guys. Sorry, yeah. No, I mean, it's just. All right, I'm back. No, I think
all right, you're
it's
back. Robert, go ahead, finish your point.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying, you know, it's just you're right. I mean, it's still a great, great win, no doubt. But I just think Andre Ward just has so much more to gain on that. And with that said, hopefully HBO starts allowing us to get some fights that are actually good on the actual channel and not having to order it on pay-per-view. Peace, guys. See you next week.
Thank you very much. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
I don't. This could be a Hagler-Hearns-like win for Andre Ward. It wouldn't change how people feel about him, I don't think. You know, it's not going to make him more friendly. Sanch, you're live on the next round.
You know what, Steve? Andre Ward has nothing to gain from winning this fight because he can't sell tickets, he doesn't sell merchandise, and his Q rating's low.
Are ancillary issues, but I think, again, whoever can give the first real blemish on the record against each other, that means something.
Oh,
no doubt about it.
But it's not like the demographic buys pay-per-views or tickets, you know, unless it's Groupon.
Well, that's a whole different issue.
You know what? I saw the fight, Steve, you know, Gabe, and I wasn't impressed. I mean, you're supposed to do that to a plus 3,000, 40-1 underdog? I mean, there was a time in the 11th round, Ward caught Brand right on the chin with a hard counter, and Brand just shook it off. I'm like, okay, Ward, what are you going to do when Kovalev cracks you with that jab? And I think that John David Jackson is going to be very key in, like, telling Kovalev, look, he tries that dirty shit with his elbows. We know Ward, he's like, he's a slickster. And the difference between all these other guys is Kovalev, like we talked, Steve, okay, Kovalev likes to hurt the motherfuckers in the ring. He wants to inflict punishment. He likes it. So I do think it's 50-50, but I do think that Kovalev's not coming in there to win on points. He's coming in there, I'm going to beat his ass. And
yeah.
Ward's coming in there to win on points.
I think one of the key components is that if Kovalev gets counterpunched early with shots he doesn't see, and I think that's a lot with guys like Mayweather and Rigondeaux, they make guys very self-conscious about throwing punches. Kovalev's going to have to realize he's going to get touched with shots he may not see coming from a counterpunching aspect. But there's a certain price he has to pay for laying leather on the guy. He's got to walk through some fire. Now, if he can do that and not lose his poise, then I think he has a very good shot at winning this fight.
Yeah, I just – my early inclination, I'm leaning towards Ward. I just feel he's a little more athletic, hits hard enough to get your respect. It's just going to be – you know, we'll find out about the power.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm leaning towards Kovalev, but I could see Ward winning a close decision. But I don't think. What do you guys think, Steve? Dave, this fight doesn't make them a pay-per-view star?
No, it really doesn't. And as much as people like this matchup and it should be lauded, pound for pound rankings alone do not make a pay-per-view fight. That's the reality. Pay-per-view success is about stars. It's about who's the name on the marquee. It's about having a track record. And as someone told me in the industry, Steve, it's been a long time, and you saw what happened with Golovkin-Lemieux. When both the A and B side have never been on pay-per-view, that usually means you're going to struggle.
My kind of guy. You're right. You're right, guys.
Yeah.
Furthermore, like, just to say that, Steve, Kovalev and Ward, like, yeah, they haven't really been promoted, like we could say. Tom's done a hell of a job promoting. I can't remember the last time a boxing promoter has done this good with a fighter and just getting him in a different markets, making them a world titleist, getting tickets to get sold, getting merchandise. And that's the difference between – so a lot of people say, like, oh, Tom's doing a bad job. Tom's doing a hell of a great job promoting Triple G.
No argument here. Spanch, we got to get running, okay?
Well, real before we go, Steve, we know you're on Heyman's payroll. Can you tell us what's going on with Ortiz? Ortiz, and what's up with Lomo and Toledo?
Well, with Ortiz, listen, he's a Cuban boxer. He just, again, they have a lot of advisors, and most of them don't know what they're doing.
We don't know about?
I have no idea. Listen, my attitude is this. Get in the ring, we'll talk about you. If you want to be a diva, I don't give a damn. Give me the soldiers that are on the battlefield, okay? It's like Bill Parcells. He used to tell the guys on the training table with the sprained ankles, two things. Either get back on the field and start playing or get the hell out of here. It's really that simple. I'm not one of these bleeding hearts that has a violin for every fighter. I'm sorry. These guys know their jobs. They know what they're getting into. And a lot of the times, I think the promoters have actually done a good job. And, you know, it is what it is. Sanchez, we got to get running. Thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
Well, that and Ortiz is a fighter that the fans are behind. They, you know, he may not be a draw or whatever, those kind of things, but if you put him on the broadcast, people talk about him, they want to see him. So to shoot yourself in the foot, you know, you're doing it to yourself. You're absolutely right.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yep, 619.
Hey, guys.
You're live on the next round. What's up?
Hey, guys, it's Juan. How you doing?
Juan, what's going on?
Good, man.
Nothing. Well, I was thinking, you know, with the pay-per-view struggle and all that and what you're talking about, Kovalev Ward, which I don't think is going to sell anything at all. Ward doesn't draw anything, and Kovalev is pretty much unknown if you talk about the mainstream public. Hardcore fans know him, but, you know, he's not a Triple G. He's not, you know, I don't know, he hasn't been promoted as well, or I don't know. He doesn't have that charisma, at least. I don't see it. He's a great fighter. I love to watch him, but I don't think he hasn't even crossed over the hardcore within the hardcores, so I don't see how this fight would work. And putting it on pay-per-view, I know the reason they're putting it there is because they don't have the money to pay these guys. You know, there's no budget. But again, I think, you know, much like in those mafia movies when all the heads of the families get together in a secret room and start talking about the business, start, you know, seeing for the best of their business what they have to do. I think I think all the boxing promoters, all the boxing heads need to do that. Just do the little head of the family reunion and start talking about what they need to do, because for the first time ever, you know, the competition, which is MMA and all those guys, they're doing a better job than boxing. And you can see the results and the numbers. People don't want to buy pay-per-view fights. I bought the Terrence Crawford fight and, you know, left a sour taste in my mouth. I don't want to pay again. It's a lot of money, dude. You know, you put in the cable cost plus the pay-per-view, plus, you know, plus the people that you invite, plus the barbecue. It's a lot of money to put a pay-per-view, you know, for us, the paying public, to pay that amount of money, you know. Kovalev Ward, I don't think it's a particularly great matchup, you know, like stylistic. And I also don't think that the guy that wins that fight is going to be the pounce of Von Best. I think that's a bunch of bullcrap. I think Chocolatito, what he's done already, even without that fight, you know, even with that fight going on, he would still be the best. You know, if he beats Quadras, which I expect him to beat, he would be a four-division champion. The quality of opposition he has up until today and the way he beats them, it's way more impressive with what these guys are doing. The only reason these guys get more attention is because they're, you know, they're marketed more, they're bigger guys. But in the end, if you ask me today, Chocolatito still and will still be the best fighter in the world November 20th.
So, Juan, you have been heard.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't disagree with him there. You know, that's and how many guys have become a superstar off a pay-per-view situation like this? It's you're limiting your audience and you have no track record. It just doesn't make any sense. But I mean, you know, it is that thing, pound for pound. You know,
let's go back to history. Bernard Hopkins really arrived by beating Trinidad in Don King's middleweight tournament, September of 2001. His next fight was in Reading, Pennsylvania, I think against Carl Daniels on a HBO show. And he went through another year where he really didn't fight, and it wasn't until he fought De La Hoya that he regained the mojo. So you're right. Just by winning a pay-per-view fight does not make you a star.
No, fighting De La Hoya for like $30 million might help you out. But it's going to be a long road. I just don't – it just depends on how the guy wins. But, you know, who's to say this thing's going to be on you know, SportsCenter or whatever? I mean, ESPN's getting out of the boxing business and into the UFC business. So, you know, I think boxing needs to come into the modern age a little bit. Rethink the idea of pay-per-view and how to make money. you know, and how to build their big superstar, because this old way, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to work for me. Although, I mean, UFC does use the pay-per-view model, and they do it often, but their cards are stacked. They're approaching the whole overall business differently. So, you know, we could go on and on. 860, you're live on the next round.
Hey, how you guys doing, CT?
CT, what's up?
Hey, I just had a question. I know it was an unfortunate thing when that happened to Verdejo. Does this kind of open the door for Mikey Garcia now to try to fight Flanagan?
You know, that's a great question. I think it does, or it opens the door more, given the fact I can't see Verdejo being cleared to fight by November.
Right. What about Juan Diaz?
You know what? I got a text from one of his associates. Juan Diaz wouldn't just walk to that fight. He'd run to it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened with Verdejo. That was, you know, in watching the Diaz's fight, I was like, wow, he's, you know, not to wish ill on somebody, but he's got to be stoked. He kind of jockeys into position. He says he wants his next fight to be a title shot. That stylistically, you know, just everything, I think, works out well for Flanagan in that fight. And for fans, I think it's a really good matchup.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you guys make up a good point about, you know, fighters should, you know, pay attention to things that happen with fighters in the past, mainly another fighter who passed away from a motorcycle accident, Diego Corrales. You know, just unfortunately, these fighters got to really pay attention to what they're doing, because anything can happen, you know, especially riding something this dangerous as far as, like, the motorcycle. But I hope he gets well soon. To talk about the Ward and Brand fight, Brand was very awkward, kind of one of the most awkward fighters I've ever seen, the way he throws his shots. So I think, you know, Ward had to be careful to an extent, but at times when he tried to turn it up a little bit more, you know, showed a little bit of his ring rust. I'm very interested to see how he looks against Kovalev. So I think Kovalev brings the most power I think Ward's kind of faced as a pro yet. So due with the fact that, you know, he's going to have a little bit of ring rust still, fighting a guy that's dangerous, I'm still going to pick Ward, because I think even with Kovalev's punches, he likes to punch through his opponent. I think Ward has the versatility, and I think when you guys brought it up, the way he can shut a fighter down, where he makes you think of what he's going to do next. It's going to be very interesting to see what the game plans are going to be. I'm just looking forward to a great, great fight.
Yeah, Ward will. I really, Dave, let me ask you this, and we have not brought this up. Don't you think whoever referees that fight will be key in that matchup?
Oh, God. There's no question. I mean, you know, that kind of geography, you know, are they going to allow a lot of clinching? Are they going to break them fast? Are they going to allow them to work inside? Are they going to call Andre Ward's, you know, forearms? And Kovalev, you know, can be a little dirty himself on the inside. That's, I think it's huge. The, you know, the judges, maybe not as much, because it's not like it's volume versus, you know, effective punching. I think clean punching won't be hard to see in that fight. But the holding, the inside game, all that is going to be – the ref is really going to determine that. Who would you pick to ref the fight?
You know, 5-6 years ago, I would have said Kenny Bayless, but
nope,
not 5-6 years ago.
Jack Reese?
I was going to say,
you know,
yeah.
Well, remember, that fight's in Las Vegas. So does Reese work that jurisdiction?
I don't think so. Mora? Yeah, I don't know. That's a question to ponder. Anything else, CT?
I remember. Oh, no, that's about it. It's funny when you said Jack Reese. I remember Jack Reese and Rodriguez in the Ward fight when he had that situation where he got punched in the face. And he said he's going to disqualify them both. So that's a funny time.
Jack's got a good chin, by the way. Jack's got a good beard.
Yeah, he's one of the most exciting referees. I like to watch him, things he says, along with Arthur McCanty. Those two referees I like to watch, refs. But that's all I got to talk about today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, CT, as always. Gabe, who's next?
917, you're live on the next round. 917.
Hey, Gabe, Steve, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
What's good, man?
Not bad. Not bad. So, you were saying that winning a pay-per-view fight doesn't make you a star. But, I mean, in Andre Ward's case, even winning, like, a major tournament on cable TV didn't make him a star. So, I think...
A great point. It's a great...
I mean,
you still have
to
capitalize on it. I mean,
but look,
you still have to parlay whatever opportunity that is and then build upon it. You're absolutely right.
You do. And the funny thing is, I'm saying this despite the fact that Showtime and later HBO have literally done everything they can to make this guy a superstar. I mean, they've given him these vignettes. They've done these mini documentaries on him. They've waved the pom-poms every fight. They've given him an announcing job. But, I mean, at the end of the day, his fights are not exciting at all. So, I mean, in my own case, not to dwell on this too much, but it literally knocked me out. Like, I just fell right asleep. So,
really? How many rounds did you last?
Well, what happened was I started watching it. It was real boring. I flipped over to Chopped All Stars, I think it was. Flipped back, then just knocked out. So, I mean, if only Michael Jackson's people had video to this fight, like he would have had a nice night's sleep like I did. So, I mean, luckily, you know, the following day, the shows we talked about last week kind of made up for it in terms of TV watching. I don't know if you caught up by now, Steve, but on Ray Donovan and
I haven't
know, the
seen
night
Ray
of,
Donovan yet. I'll be watching that tonight.
But did you see the show from the week before, though?
Yes. Ray Donovan has been great this season. You know,
yes,
it has been
was.
Great this season. It really
yeah.
has. Been.
So, I mean, yeah, but... In terms of, I mean, they've literally done everything they could for this guy, and it just has not worked out. I mean, having said that, I did see Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith this morning, so I think I'm prepared to talk about the Kovalev-Ward fight now with their expert analysis. And, I mean, I'm still thinking that Andre Ward, despite what I've said about how boring he is actually going to do a number on Ward, I just think, sorry, on Kovalev. He's fairly strong. He doesn't have knockout power, but I see him being able to kind of defensively maneuver his way to a 12-round decision. Might be controversial, but I think he'll be able to get it.
You are on the record. By the way, are we all on hiatus basically till September 10th in the HBO triple header? Boy, it is slim picking for the next 3-4 weeks, guys.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it really is. I mean, and boy, that fight was – I mean, you got – I'm looking forward to Darrell Miller versus Cassie. I kind of am excited by watching Miller. I like these Ring TV shows. But, yeah, I mean, it's in terms of marquee big fight that I'm super excited about, it is a barren wasteland.
I mean – look, I grew up on fights in the 90s, and I actually remember getting excited about, like, Boxing After Dark fights, HBO championship boxing fights. I don't know if it's just me, but it's turned into a situation now, at least on HBO, where in order to get, like, a competitive fight, it's got to be a pay-per-view fight. I mean, these shows they've been having, at least this year and even probably last year, too, if I really look at it, the majority of them have just been mismatches, like the stuff you used to write about in your report, Gabe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's hard for me to I understand there's like the developmental part of the game, but after a while, watching the A side always win, it's just, yeah, you want to see something competitive, you know? Like, you know, I like Errol Spence. He's going to beat Leonard Bundu, so, you know, okay, let me watch, you know, however long this takes, Errol Spence beating this guy. It's not why I watch the sport.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. So quickly, you guys were talking about the Luis Ortiz thing. I mean, I've said this before. The problem with the Cuban fighters oftentimes, I think, is not even their willingness to fight, but they just have too many chefs in the kitchen when it comes to their, like, managerial teams. And a lot of it, again, has to do with the way they were brought over or brought out of Cuba. I mean, these guys that go there, they pick these brothers off the plantation, so to speak. You know, they promised them, you know, a hot bath and a big meal, and then they just rob them blind once they get to the big house in the United States. So it's unfortunate, but it's just going to be a reoccurring theme until things change. I remember seeing Yoel Casamayor at the Radio City Music Hall fight when Rigondeaux fought Nonito, And I mean, he was quite open, as was Ramon Garbe, about just how they're not really doing too well financially. So it's unfortunate, but that's kind of a lot of why these guys are struggling the way they are.
Okay, Amilcar, as always, thank you for the call.
Yeah, no doubt, guys. Join the show as always.
At the top of the hour, we'll go through the fight preview and fight review. Again, we have at least another 35 minutes on the clock on this edition of the Next Round on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network with Gabe Montoya and Steve Kim. Gabe?
403, you're live on the Next Round. 403.
Hello, or not.
Anything?
Nothing.
And a knockdown. 256, you're live on the Next Round.
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, yeah. I saw the fight, and actually, Ward's defense has slipped a bit. As awkward as Brand was, he actually did land that hook.
But don't you think, again, have you ever played basketball with a guy that is so bad? I mean horrible. That he actually brings your game down to his level. That's Alexander Brand.
Well, I'm a Philadelphia Sixers fan, so you're pretty...
Oh, so you're used to bad basketball. Yes. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, again, there are certain guys that their skill level and their real skill is being awkward. I don't know. I mean, I think guys like... It's like Vernon Forrest. He was so technically sound that he always had problems with the wild card that was Ricardo Mayorga. There's sometimes that guy that is just so wrong that he's right. So I don't know. I didn't see Brand land all that many shots on Andre Ward this past weekend.
Yeah, he didn't, but the few that he landed, it was one where actually Andre gave him a nod because it might have bothered him a little bit. But with Triple G, did he ever say anything about this guy, Kirill Denyakin?
Who?
He's not in boxing, but it's a very small world because he was actually an unarmed guy that got killed by the police. And
I have no idea. Do you have any idea? I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's from Triple G's hometown.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking maybe he might have known him or something like that. It was somewhat of a big deal about 2011 with the Kazakh government and things like that, and the cop didn't go to jail, and he wound up killing somebody else who was unarmed. So I think that might have been it. Yeah, so it's a very small world because it's not like you see too many people from Kazakhstan and they actually get caught up in something like a normal American thing. So, but as far as War Kovalev being pay-per-view, it's going to be basically like Tony Jones. Jones has become a pay-per-view star after that, and he definitely had a all-time level performance that fight.
Well, hold on. That fight in 94, he never really became a pay-per-view franchise. I think the most pay-per-views he ever sold was like 550, 600 for John Ruiz. It was an HBO staple, and HBO was paying much more, but he didn't have that many pay-per-view fights.
Yeah, the Trinidad fight, he sold around that same amount, I think. It was,
right, and I think
well.
The Montel Griffin rematch was on HBO, and I think on a Thursday night for some reason at the Foxwoods or one of those Indian casinos in the Northeast. Was he a De La Hoya, Mayweather, Pacquiao, Tyson, Holyfield-level guy? No, but he certainly made a very nice living when HBO had a much bigger budget.
Yeah, so at this time, it really seems like Canelo has surpassed Pacquiao as the pay-per-view guy in the game right now.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Gabe, are you like me? Are you waiting for Pacquiao? I'm sorry. I've had enough of Pacquiao.
It depends on the matchup. I am tired of the of pay-per-views. I'm tired of especially if it's going to be Jesse Vargas. It's going to be a good fight, but again, I already know who's going to win. So these fixed outcome fights. I mean, maybe Jesse pulls something out, but I don't see what he brings to the table that the other the people that are beaten I just don't see him winning. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the speed. And I think Pacquiao has enough left. I'm not done with him, but I want to see him in a real fight. I would like to see the Terrence Crawford fight or something that's going to be at least competitive, so that I'm leaning forward and going, gee, I wonder who's going to win this. I just don't feel just.
Well, okay, well, let me hang up off this last point. Can we get a little setup for Quadras and Gonzalez, seeing how that goes? Because I don't think a whole lot of people have seen Quadras fight, and maybe you can give some insight that we don't know about. And I'll hang up. You guys have a good night.
All right. Well, we could talk about that in 3 weeks. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of time to talk about that. Gabe, let's go to the fight review. ESPN, David Benavidez knocks out the Mama's Boy, Dennis Duglin, in 10. Show that I called on CBS Sports Network from Pachanga. Rob Brandt, TKO in 3 over Chris Fitzpatrick. Malik Hawkins and Skender Halili also notch victories. Then on Ring TV from the Belasco Theater, Joet Gonzalez, tough. 12-round decision over Sergio Lopez and Carlos Morales with a decision over Luis Franco. Then Saturday in Unimas, the Baby Bull, Juan Diaz stops Cesar Vasquez in 8. Gabe, David Benavidez, I'll say it right now. I thought this fight would be a little bit shorter, but I do really think he's the best fighter in that family right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, I still think he's pretty raw, and they should really implement this new training technique that every time Benavidez boy boxer goes to the ropes, when their back touches the ropes, they should just hire somebody to attack them with a broom and chase them off the ropes. Both these guys are not as good off the ropes as they think they are. They live there way too much and just let the other opponent kind of go at them. And I don't understand the tactic, particularly because they're both rangy guys. I like Benavidez, they just don't rely on their stick enough. I mean, at this point, they're bigger, they're more imposing, and that's kind of their strength, is they can get down in the weight. But when all things are equal, I think they're both going to get torn up when they meet a guy that's their size and they can't overpower.
Gabe, Rob Brandt did what he was supposed to in blowing out Chris Fitzpatrick. But you know what? Having seen this kid extensively up close for about the past, I'd say 18 months, he is getting better and better. And the best thing he ever did was moving to Dallas and training under the tutelage of Derek James and alongside Errol Spencer. I think this kid is a riser.
There's no question. He gets better every time. And this time was one of those cases where I think, I don't know what the point of it was. I don't know, I didn't hear them state it. We need to get him rounds or a big knockout. But it was just clear that they weren't on the same level, and Brandt went through him. Just got Fitzpatrick out of there. And sometimes it isn't about, you know, who you face, it's what you do when you face them. And I like his smooth style. He seems very relaxed in there. Doesn't seem to be putting a whole hell of a lot on the punches, but still getting a lot out of it. It's just free swinging motion, the way he lets his hands go. I really like this guy a lot. It's not super flashy, but super effective. I want to see him tested, though, now. I want to see somebody push back, punch him in the mouth, and see what happens then.
Right, exactly. And Gabe, Juan Diaz, the Baby Bull. You know what? He has a young man's style. And again, he's not the guy he was 7-8 years ago. None of us are. But you know what? He still has a little bit left. And you know what? On any given night, he's going to give some guys hell at 135, even now.
I thought he looked – I was surprised because the last time out, I was like, if he called it quits, I wouldn't blame him. And this time around, I was like, you know what? He looks better. He looks like the activity is doing him well. He's letting his hands go. He seemed like he could see it, the opening, and do something about it. Maybe he has one last hurrah left in him, but I think that the matchmakers, his promoters, should listen to him because he's like, I don't need another tune-up. I'm ready. Let's take a shot by the end of the year. I think they should do that. And this opening that Verdejo has given him might give him that shot.
If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We have another 26 minutes remaining before championship rounds. Gabe, let's get back to the phone lines.
All right. In the 805, you're live on the next round.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, what's up,
Gabe?
What's up,
man?
None much. I'm not even going to go into that abomination of the war fight. I think people have talked about that enough. He makes Paulie Malignaggi look like Roberto Duran, as far as I'm concerned.
Jeez. Wow. Jeez.
And as far as Juan Diaz, I thought he looked good, but I definitely agree. I don't think he needs a tune-up at this point. I would definitely like to see him fight either Flanagan or, if not, maybe the winner of Linares Crolla, I think. I think that's probably, you know, the best bet. And as far as Rob Brandt, he blew that dude out, who I didn't think was going to be on his level anyway. So what does he get Alfonso Blanco next, Steve?
If they had their druthers, and that's up to Greg Cohen, the promoter, Alfonso Blanco is one of the middleweight, quote-unquote, titleists of the WBA. He has the interim belt. And I don't think Alfonso Blanco has fought for a while, but that's a good fight, though, actually. If Rob Brandt would be able to beat Blanco, not only would that be a pretty good feather in the cap, I think he would put him in line to fight Daniel Jacobs. So, again, I'd love for that to happen, at least from his sake.
Yeah, exactly. And, oh, yeah, and on the Diaz, the undercard fight, what's the name of the Russian kid, the light heavyweight?
Oh, Rasputin?
Yeah. I can't believe he had such a tough time with Alexander Johnson, because, I mean, he got blown out by Beterbiev.
Yeah, I heard it was not a good night. That's what I was told.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I got, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
347-215-7598. Gabe, let's go through the phone line some more.
It's you can't really count a Linares chicken before it hatches, but how good would Juan Diaz versus Jorge Linares
be? Sign me up for some of that.
Yeah, that's a hell of a fight. 323, you're live on the next round.
Hello, guys. This is Dave the Mailman.
Dave!
What's up, man?
What's going on?
You know what? I was going to talk about that Ward brand, but you know what? Just hearing you guys talk about it made me want to go back to sleep. you know what? All I got to say is I'm just looking forward to the Kovalev war fight, and hopefully Kovalev gets that KO, and yeah, I want to see Ward or all these mental Ward trends coming up, you know. It's a little crazy.
Dave, you're a hardworking guy. You make an honorable living. You work a 9-to-5. Will you be ordering that pay-per-view?
Let's just say we'll be listening in the radio for that one, eh?
Oh, gotta get the old Radio Shack transistor, I see. Okay.
It's either that or for PAC or,
Okay, hold on, Dave. Let's do a little informal poll. Out of Pacquiao versus presumably Vargas, Ward Kovalev, and Cotto versus Tom Bob Anderson, which one do you buy, which one do you stream, and which one do you watch the next week on replay?
I got to watch the Pac fight. I got to stream the Kovalev Ward fight. And let's just say the Cotto fight, I'm not going to even see that one.
Okay, Dave, we want your opinion. I mean, you are the consumer. What you say absolutely matters.
Even at this point, I feel I'm probably just going to see all of those on the radio and not even waste a penny and just put my money aside or get the tickets for the Chocolatito fight.
Yeah. Okay. No, I hear you. Will you be there September 10th?
I will be there, and hopefully that Mexicans for the Golovkin guy is having a huge barbecue.
Oh, he'll be there.
Don't
worry. Don't worry. But Mr. Boxing Guru will have his tailgate extravaganza, as always.
Are you going to be at Sizzler after the fight or what?
Excuse me?
Are you going to be at Sizzler after the fight or what?
You know what? It depends on the college football schedule, but the Sizzler is always fine eats. Always. Always. And I mean that.
All right, then.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right, let's go to my personal favorite, Blocked Number. You're live on the next round. Blocked Number. Or not. 917. You're live on the next round. 917.
Hey, what's up, guys? How is this?
What's going on? Talk to us.
What's going on, man? Actually, I was just listening to the show and really didn't have much to say because this fight with Ward. I tried to watch it. I actually skipped through rounds. And it was a hard fight to watch completely. I like Ward.
Yeah.
He's definitely a highly skilled fighter. But, you know, it seems like these guys that are highly skilled become highly boring, you know.
Well, there's the other issue. See, that to me is one of the problems in selling this fight as a pay-per-view. I mean, literally your consensus, your opinion is the consensus. Yeah, I tried to watch it, but I couldn't make it. Yeah, sign me up. I'd love to pay $70 for that guy in 3 months, huh?
Yeah. It's a thing. You go back to like the I've been rereading this book about by Houdini called The Right Way to Do Wrong, and just been reading about the guy in general. He's one of the very first promoters because he wasn't just a magician, but he was a guy that would drum up a lot of business by going to all the newspapers and kind of doing these live events to build up promotion for the event in his theater, and then he would sell tickets to it and then make his cash. And a big part of why it wasn't that he was just so great at getting out of a pair of handcuffs, because a lot of times he would do that and he would have like this curtain set up, right, and he'd go behind it and then he'd just chill back there and let the crowd build up and get more and more excited. He'd come out and kind of pretend to look at the handcuffs, but he's really looking at the crowd, seeing how far he could push them to before he would, end the trick and everybody would erupt and explode. A boxer needs to understand, or a fighter needs to understand, that they're not just out there on a high wire, just that job, which is dangerous. They also are entertainers. We're there to watch them and live vicariously through them, see them kind of push towards greatness, try to knock the guy out, get the guy out of there, show your worth, sell the damn pay-per-view you're going to charge us for in November. Ward just doesn't give a shit about that. And that's the end-all and be-all of why he's not a superstar. You can't be beloved playing it safe.
Yeah, and I think that's been the consensus in boxing, you know? I mean, Floyd Mayweather did it best, right? Even Ward
Same
Jones
thing.
To a point. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys fought as far as they wanted to. They know they had the fight won. They didn't. They did nothing extra to entertain the crowd. And because of it, I believe that the sport has actually been dwindling. I mean, this year has been terrible. I mean, there's nothing exciting about this year, at all. I can't really say this year has been a really good year for boxing. I mean, we still haven't gotten anything that we could say, this year's been really good. And if it continues that way, I mean, I know there's been a lot of talks about the sport, dwindling and actually losing popularity, but it's actually getting worse than that, because it's just been this person and making the best fights possible to, pretty much pushed to the back door,
Yeah, I mean, I just think, anybody looking for, even if Andre Ward wins, for him to be the next flagship pay-per-view superstar or face of boxing the way Floyd Mayweather was, God, put a gun in my mouth. Because, I guess it's why I was so upset at Terrence Crawford being boring in his big pay-per-view debut and then saying, I could have done something more, but why? It's because I've lived through the careers of Floyd Mayweather and Roy Jones Jr.
And you know what? And by the way, all these people that say he's another version of Hopkins, I want to say this again. Hopkins at 160, at least, I think the first half of his run,
he was a monster.
Blasting guys out of there.
Oh, and he was the executioner? He was a beast.
Yes, Steve Frank, Joe Lipsy,
Trinidad
masterpiece. He had moments,
I think
you can't wear that mask and not be a badass. Like, he earned the mask,
The first fight I saw of Bernard Hopkins was on ABC, and it was that Joe Lipsy fight. And that fight
ended his career.
Incredible. That was incredible. I was like, wow. And
Joe Lipsy actually was out on his feet and levitating. It was like the Leaning Tower of Pizza, and then Bernard said, I'm going to help you to the canvas. because you're thinking about going to the canvas, I'm going to make up your mind for you.
And he was undefeated then.
Yes.
I mean, he beat a lot of undefeated fighters also. He beat Glenn Johnson when he was undefeated, So
33-0 at that point. I was on CBS in the summer of 1997.
Yeah, so Hopkins definitely, you know, I mean, he became this defensive guy down the line, but in the beginning of his career, the first half of his career, he was an animal.
You know, and so was Mayweather, in all fairness, at 130.
Oh, yeah, Mayweather definitely was kicking ass.
The problem with Ward is he's never even Terrence Crawford has had moments. The problem with Ward is he hasn't had any of those moments.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. He's never really been a big puncher. You remember when he was knocked down by Darnell Boone?
Darnell Boone, and also Kenny Cost, second pro fight, had him out on the ropes.
They kind of pushed back his career some. You know, we didn't hear about him until the Super Six. You know, that's when they let him loose. You know, and if it wasn't for the Super Six, we got to see, you know, how good he was. That's when you know, he became sort of that superstar. But for a while, they kept him back, you know?
Yeah.
So,
by the way, November 19th, will you be buying the pay-per-view?
I can't remember the last time I bought a pay-per-view, let me tell you.
Okay. There it is. That's an honest answer. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Let's see. Actually, a whole bunch of calls have just come on. 646, let's go overseas. 64642, you're live on the next round.
Hey, boys, how are you?
We're doing well. What's going on, Baloke?
Hey, it's our Big Drama Show from Australia, New Zealand.
Oh, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. Listen, I watched the Brand and Ward fight. And one thing I want to ask, do you think that Ward wanted to knock this guy out?
You know, honestly, I don't think that's him, Gabe. I think Ward was being Ward. Better or worse, that's what he is. That's what he does.
I remember early on in my tenure on Next Round, you would talk about Ward as a guy that, and I don't think this has changed, it's accurate. He fights to win 3 minutes at a time.
Right.
That's it. That's you know, just over and over again, I'm going to win the next 3 minutes. And he does that moment to moment, exchange to exchange, and he does it very well. It's a hard style to beat, but that model hasn't changed. You never see him kind of freewheeling out there. I thought it was interesting that he went southpaw, but then it was like, oh, this fight's just as boring in this stance as it is right-handed. You know, he landed some left hands, didn't really press the action. Didn't really look that comfortable to me, even though HBO just kind of gushed and like, oh, you know, he was a natural southpaw, so he probably feels even better now. And,
oh,
you know,
God.
Well, that's really great, but it isn't any more exciting. And he didn't look comfortable.
Yeah. Fair enough. Because I was watching and I'm thinking, why is this guy still in the ring? It's like the 10th round, and I couldn't understand. Like, it looked like he was trying his hardest to knock him out, but he couldn't knock him out. Another thing also, am I right to say, if Ward wanted this pay-per-view to be good and successful, he actually has the best chance ever with Kovalev and Rock Nation and Main Event. I'm saying, like, if he really wanted to be a star and make heaps of money, he actually can really milk this for the Russia-America rivalry and go around and do some city tours and really promote this fight. And the question is, will he do this? Will he make the money that he can make if he promotes it?
Nah, listen. Ward is Ward, and he's going to behave like it. Square pegs do not die round.
But that's, you know, it opens up an interesting idea is that, I mean, these are two guys that are new to pay-per-view, but it's also two promotional companies that haven't been doing, you know, well, I mean, I guess Rock Nation's been part of it with Cotto, but, I mean, I think that's what's needed. These guys aren't that. They aren't household names. Nobody outside of us gives a shit about this fight. But, you know, Steve, do you know, I mean, the salaries, what is the basement for this fight?
You know, I really don't know. I do not know. And, you know, and again, there's so much of the business about it. We should just appreciate the fact it's a fight, it's happening. But thankfully, Main Event is the lead promoter because quite frankly.
Yeah.
Rock Nation is Alicia Silverstone. They're clueless.
Yeah.
Remember that movie,
1995?
Anyway.
Oh, it's a classic, yeah.
Yeah, it was great money. She was. What was her name? Claire? Was it Claire or was it... I forgot her character's name.
I think it was Claire. I think she's on the money.
Listen, go, before I go, Steve, about that motorcycle thing that you were saying on the show, I work in a hospital. 70% of the people in the neuro ward and the ortho ward ride motorbikes. And,
jeez.
Yeah,
70%. Again, those numbers don't lie.
You ask anyone who works in a hospital, the ones in rehab in the neuro or ortho wards, all of them have been riding motorbikes, and you ride it, you're gonna die or you're gonna hurt yourself. Eventually, it's gonna happen.
Jeez, you know what? Thank you for that information. That's very sobering. Please call in again soon. And Gabe, all this stuff about oh my God, it's so tragic. You know what's tragic? Is that 8-year-old girl that gets leukemia that doesn't see her high school prom. Okay, that's tragic. Okay, because she has no control over that. So lose me with the oversensitivity. Oh, my God, how you have no class? Sorry. Okay? You don't have to like my joke, but I don't have to be the bleeding heart either. But with that said, I still like Verdejo. Just saying.
No. It's, you know, I remember my sister, her roommate in college was a med student, and they used to refer to motorcycle riders as organ donors. You know, like I had a grim.
Jeez.
I had a motorcycle when I was 19, a Honda 78 550, way too much bike for a first time motorcycle rider. But I knew it didn't take me very long to realize that if I continued to ride my motorcycle, this would be the death of me.
Yeah, and by the way,
as
an Asian driver, it's already, again, a car is already a kind of a risk, okay? A pocket rocket, no. Forget it. And by the way, Jimmy's Corner says, clueless, the name was Cher.
Cher.
Okay, good catch, Jimmy. Good catch.
We can hear you, Jimmy. 917, you're live on the next round. 917.
What's up, guys?
Hello?
What's up?
You hear me?
Loud
yes.
and clear. Crystal.
You guys got me back on. I was just listening to the show, but...
sorry about that.
All right, well, get out of
that.
Here. Go back to stealing your boss's money while you're at work. Don't let us disturb you in that pursuit.
We'll try another 917. There's like three of them. You're live on the next round.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes,
we
loud
can.
And clear. Yes.
Gentlemen, it's Joe from New York. Last time I talked to you, I was sitting outside a rehearsal getting very baked, enjoying your show. I want you to know you were very concerned about me getting there on time. Rest assured, everything worked out all right, all right?
You know what? All's well that ends well, Joe.
That's
all's
right.
All's well that
That's
ends
right.
well. Yeah.
Now, listen, I got onto the show a little bit late, and from what I'm picking up on, you've all been talking about Andre Ward and Alexander Brandt, the fight of the year candidate.
No,
almost
not only fight of the year.
German border.
I have called my sources at HBO, and I am demanding a 2-part legendary night on Ward Brand. I am. I will pay Liev Schreiber out of my own pocket to make the second part happen.
We need
way,
to take
Steve,
him out of shooting for Ray Donovan.
Adelaide
Burns
loved your scorecard off of Twitter during the fight.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hey now.
So I'll make it quick. I'm going to just pile on as what is needed. You know, as a kind of a free-swinging liberal person, there's nothing I can't stand more at a family function than people complaining to me about entitlement. Oh, this guy's so entitled. That's the problem with the world, blah, blah, blah. And I'm usually throwing up in my mouth a little bit. But in this case, man, Andre Ward and that entitlement is really nauseating. For example, I mean, okay, you're a boring-ass fighter. Fine, you're effective. Great, okay, fine. But the idea that Alexander Brand got paid $30,000 for that fight, and what, he gets seven figures? And I know Rock Nation paid him a big portion of it and everything. But, man, that guy carrying on as if he's just so amazing. Everybody should just be kissing his feet. The guy who's fighting him should be thankful to get the amazing opportunity. And he fights more boring than, might I say, Floyd Mayweather Jr. I mean, at least with Floyd, there's some fancy footwork. There's some showboating. His trunks look cool. You know, maybe he brings
Wait a minute. Joe, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
As someone who is a connoisseur of the Jordan brand,
yeah.
Ward's trunks look nice. I like those.
Yeah,
seriously. Those were sharp.
Okay.
Those,
yeah,
and by the way,
I'll give him the trunks.
Here's what I thought was just like, it had my slanted eyes rolling, okay? Is when Jim Lampley teased him up with the, how do you compare yourself to Muhammad Ali? Because you wrote a letter to Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
and
God.
In the beginning, he actually said, oh, you can't compare myself to Muhammad Ali. And then guess what, guys? He kind of sort of tried to compare himself to the greatest. He kind of, and I'm just like, oh, God, gag me.
Well, listen, if Michael Eric Tyson can set up Floyd
to talk about beating
women and how he's like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, give me a break.
Oh, that was a low point. Boy, that was a low point of the Ross Greenberg, Kerry Davis era.
It actually made it hard for me to listen to anything else he has to say. And he does have some good things to say, but every time he speaks, I'm like, but you did that Floyd interview, and it was terrible.
Yes, I 100% agree. Like, I've seen him in many other settings, and I'm like, this is a very intelligent man with some great things to say. Since that interview, I can't even deal with it. I mean, I can't listen to such hyperbolic nonsense and then take him seriously ever again.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I still remember the day of the Cotto fight when they brought Dyson in. On the HBO pre-show, I thought Jim Lampley's head was going to explode. They actually had to interview him, and Jim Lampley questioned him, saying, are you sure about this comparison? And then Dyson, just like Arthur Fonzarelli, I thought, jumped the shark.
Double down on stupidity, man. God.
So, Joe, November 19th, are you buying this pay-per-view?
You know, I'm buying the pay-per-view because I do believe, and I'm happy about, for a change, two of the top guys getting in the ring with each other. I mean, I'm really, really uneasy about it because, you know, I mean, I love Sergey Kovalev's fighting style. I love his nastiness. But, oh, man, I can't stomach the idea that Ward's going to dance around him and tie him up for 12 rounds. And then the whole mystique of the Crusher is going to be ruined. I'm gonna feel like I paid for it. So I'm a little
nervous
about it.
That's the beauty of it. You know what? Can I just say something, Joe and Gabe? The fact that you have those uneasy feelings and you're so invested into it, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
you're right.
When Miami plays Florida State, it ain't like when we're playing Florida A&M. It's a different emotion.
Oh my God.
Your fans.
That's absolutely – you're paying for the nerves and all the – I remember seeing Hopkins' interviews leading up to the Trinidad fight and being so nervous as a Trinidad fan going, this is the wrong motherfucker. I don't want to deal with this guy. And all my brothers and I were just looking at each other like, I got a bad feeling about this. But that's part of the ride. That's part of the juice of the whole thing, you know.
I am excited for that fight. It's going to be cool. I mean,
you know what?
And
by
the
way, Joe,
call, know who I want to win, but you know,
Joe, November 19th, buy for Yandel, stay for Kovalev.
Oh God!
With a dose of Rigo.
I'm a professional musician. I never heard of Yandel. Terrible.
You know, you don't sound like a reggaeton fan. Maybe I'm stereotyping me. You don't seem like the guy that has Pitbull in his Walkman. I'll be honest with you.
Steve, I gotta say, every once in a blue moon, when you're describing when you're talking about an upcoming fight with Gabe, and every once in a while you go, man, I do this for a living, and I don't know who the hell this guy is. That's how I felt watching that fight. Like, man, I know music. Top to bottom, I play all styles of music. Oh, who the hell Yandel is? Come on.
Did you know in every Roc Nation promotional contract for a show that they actually negotiate a musical act? That's part of the deal?
And that's okay. I mean, I think that's kind of a cool thing because
they're not giving us Sinatra. Come on.
No, of course they're not. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, but I mean, you know, think about all those, and I, you know, I dig Gary Shaw and everything. But remember all those cards he used to put on, and it was the arena was dead. There wasn't even any music playing in between the rounds. Like, I'm into the idea of it making it more of an exciting atmosphere. But come on, we all know Cotto's from Puerto Rico. We get it. Yeah. But seriously, Yandel.
Yandel.
Seriously.
Oh,
hashtag seriously, Yandel.
Joe, we got to get running, okay?
Thanks so much, guys.
You guys have a great night. 347-215-7598. We're now into the bonus championship rounds of the next round. Gabe, who's next?
You know, Top Rank always has a good DJ, which is kind of and Golden
they
Boy.
They do. They do a good job of dressing up their events.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of promotion 101. Just get a good vibe going, it would seem. Yandel, not so much. I'm kind of looking here at the switchboard. 862, you're live on the next round.
Hello, you guys hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What's going on?
You know, all these pay-per-views going on, it makes me appreciate Al Heyman and the PBC model of having boxing on TV for free. It shows what a great man this guy is.
Should win the Nobel Peace Prize, absolutely.
I agree. You really should. He's giving you boxing for free, and you guys should appreciate it.
And hey, like we say, it's free! Anyway, thank you for the call. Not really. Yeah, you know, the boxing for free was not a bad concept, except it was kind of a shit product. Anyway, who's next, Gabe?
Well, and he didn't give us boxing for free. I mean, other people were doing stuff on, you know, NBC or CBS occasionally, and you had it for Friday Night Fights. I mean, that's what people call free is, like, oh, well, if you have cable, it's magically free now, even though nobody really – you know, everybody pays for their cable. I just, you know, to call him a great man. I mean, if it works, if it doesn't go out of business, I don't even know then. I mean, it's way too early to tell. It's not, but it's not like boxing was this dying business and Al Heyman has done what the Fertitta brothers did, selling the product.
He's
for
done
billion.
Just the opposite. Let's just be blunt about it, okay? Ask the investors at Waddell and Reed if they think he's a great man.
786, you're live on the next round.
Hey, how's it going, Gabe? How's it going, Steve?
Good, what's going on?
Not much, this is Chris from Miami.
Oh, hey, I gotta tell you one thing. I'm hearing some very good things on Green Tree Practice Field. December 3rd, I fully expect the Miami Hurricanes to be representing the Coastal Division in the ACC Conference title game. Just log that.
I think so too, Steven. I hope you're down here in October to watch the Canes in the FSU game.
You know what? I might have to work a show the night before. I know, but it's a total buzzkill, but we'll see what we can do. So what's on your mind?
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you, you know, Andre Ward, now that he's going to fight Kovalev, you know, I wanted to ask you, what is your true opinion? Let's say if they had a round robin between Kovalev, Stevenson, Ward, and let's put Beltibu. I don't know what's his last name.
Oh,
but Beterbiev. Let's just say all those four fighters fought each other. Who do you think comes out on top if they had a round robin?
It's hard to say. I mean, I guess you'd have to favor Ward and Kovalev, wouldn't you? I think those are clearly the two best guys out of that.
I give the edge to Kovalev. I think Ward outsmart Stevenson, also the young fighter as well. But, you know, this pay-per-view coming up November 19th, I'm not sure. You think Main Events and Rock Nation is going to put a good undercard to put down a $70 price tag?
You know what? I don't even know if they have the parts. I mean, you have Rigondeaux, Yandel, Curtis Stevens, and what else?
Man, I'm sorry, but HBO is getting – HBO is pretty biased. What's the difference between that Ward fight that we just witnessed and Rigondeaux – and his undercard fight on the Cotto and Canelo fight? It was the same fight. And you see,
you know,
how
my partner's been saying that.
They glorify Ward because, you know, it is what it is. They have to make money for the pay-per-view fight, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess that's
I don't disagree. But Cherviev, I think he's got that kind of power that I want to see it at the next level. It seems like it's fight stopping power, like, you know, game changing power. And that's the kind of the factor X in that round robin. It's how everybody deals with his power.
I really like that Stevenson fight, the last fight, that knockout. I mean, you know, the guy he fought was pretty good. And I want to see Stevenson again. But the thing is that Stevenson's been marinating a fight with the Colombian editor Alvarez for like a year already. It's like, dude, nobody wants to see that fight. How about you fight one of these, the top dogs? And I know they've been going back and forth with Korolev, but hopefully the winner out of Ward and Korolev can fight the winner out of Stevenson and one of the PBC top 175-pounders.
Well, that's a scenario for a perfect world, and unfortunately, we do not live in that.
And last question, Steve. I'm going to give you three fights. Tell me who wins. Walters, Frampton at 126.
That's a great question. You know, Walters is he even a fighter anymore? I guess Frampton. I don't know. I think Walters
yeah.
size. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't do hypotheticals because honestly, I'll just always pick the guy I want to win. So you know, that's mental
right.
masturbation to me.
Future fight. Hopefully in the future, Crawford versus Spence.
Crawford versus who?
Errol Spence. Yeah.
I like Spence at 47. Naturally bigger guy.
Yeah, he'll probably move up to 154 by the time Crawford goes up to 147. But and then last fight, how about a catchweight fight? Rigondeaux versus Chocolatito at 120. Roman.
I think Rigondeaux's too big. Don't you? That's what I think, Gabe.
Yeah.
Man,
I think
Gonzalez is a pretty big guy. He walks around pretty big, and you know, Rio could get down a couple pounds. That'd be an awesome fight. It's a dream fight for me in Miami. I want to see that fight in Miami. I know it will never happen, but that's a fight I want to see at 120. Rigo against Chocolatito. That's an awesome fight.
I hate to burst your bubble. You'll see the Orange Bowl be rebuilt before you see that.
Oh, man, Steve.
In the 305. Anyway, thank you for the call.
Thank
Gabe, who's next?
Steve, it's taken us how many years, but we finally found Rigo's market in Miami.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. They gotta go to Miami, man. That's what I've been hearing, man. All the masterminds of this business. Just go to Miami.
7-0, you're live on the next round.
Oh, sorry guys. I already called in. I was the first call.
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, it's all right, we're lapping them at this point. 5-3-0. You're live on the next round. 5-3-0.
Hello, Gabe, Steve, it's Ringside Robert here.
Robbie, what's going on?
Well, first of all, that pay-per-view scenario, I can remember when pay-per-view was used for special fights, and now people are using it because they don't have enough money in their budgets. It's kind of a disgusting way to use the pay-per-view scenario. Pay-per-view used to be special, and now it's being used because, well, we don't have the financial means to meet our demands.
Or
it's
a guy
certainly
feels
watered
like,
down. No
yeah,
argument
like,
here.
A guy can feel like, you know, oh, I'm at that point now. I deserve to be a pay-per-view guy, even if you haven't really.
I mean, not that I'm a supporter of Al Heyman, but let's be honest. If we got rid of the pay-per-view model, boxing might be better off because they're no wonder why more and more people are getting involved in the UFC. And believe me, I'm not going to be one of those people. I've watched boxing for over 45 years. I'm not going to stop. But Saturday night was an awful experience. And just to think, we have to see Andre Ward on a pay-per-view platform when he probably doesn't deserve to be there. Give me a break.
You know what I found interesting? I guess Virgil Hunter at the last press conference was lamenting the fact that nobody's buying tickets. And I'm like, hey, guys, you guys have consistently said we don't care about the fans, we don't fight for the fans, we're not taking risks for the fans. So when you take that attitude, which is certainly your prerogative, you don't have a right to demand the fans show up. Sorry. Can't have it both ways.
And as far as the next important day in boxing, for those of you who don't have HBO, you're going to miss September 10th. That is, if you're a boxing fan, that's the next important day in boxing. The next few weeks, not so much.
don't disagree. It is a barren wasteland. It truly is. It's the dog days of summer.
Why be negative? Virgil's so negative. It's always somebody else's fault. People didn't come out. You know, we don't support our own. What about all the time that, you know, basically like we've talked about earlier, the fact that they didn't really capitalize on the Super Six, and how interesting would it be if Ward beats Kovalev and then doesn't fight Stevenson? That'd be two divisions in a row where he just avoids a legit challenger from Canada.
But you know what? In this particular instance, though, I thought the Butte thing is completely on him. Let's face it, Stevenson's hiding behind the Heyman shield. I think it's a little bit different, Gabe, in all fairness. I really do.
Well,
I think it's a different circumstance there.
Or do you think he's playing like Butte did and letting everybody fight each other, and then I'll fight the winner?
Yeah, you know, again, I can't get inside his mind, but going back to that whole Virgil Hunter diatribe, if you want to call it that, you know, on one hand they'll say, yeah, but Americans and their own people don't support each other. Right, you put this in Oakland. What does it say about your own people, your own hometown, don't really want to support you then?
Well, that's what happens if you don't fight off. You know, and you don't build goodwill with the public. I mean, I don't ever really see interviews that make me, you know, he just isn't an appealing guy, as Jimmy said, you know, as you know, Jimmy tweeted to us that you know, you wonder why he doesn't, here it is, boring fights, unwillingness to travel, personality of a parking meter, and Ward's not a star. Go figure.
Yeah, but outside of that,
it.
Never mind.
No, and look, these two guys, look, they're both wonderful fighters, but normally you want fighters on pay-per-view that are going to help promote. And you would think Andre Ward, going into his first pay-per-view, would have wanted to put on a more pleasing style of fight, but of course Andre Ward doesn't do that. He's like Floyd Mayweather in that sense, where he's going to do just enough to win, and that's all he cares about.
Well, Andre Ward, he takes the slogan of his hometown Raiders, the dearly departed Al Davis, just win, baby.
Yeah, well,
that's his philosophy.
I'm a Raider fan, so I can understand that. But in boxing, sometimes you got to put on.
It matters. I agree. Style points matter. No argument here.
Yeah. So good show as always, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Robbie, thank you very much. Gabe, who else is left here?
I believe we have cleared the board.
Okay,
so
listen, that's it for this week's show. We got in, what, that's 72 minutes. I'm not going to lie to you. That's about 15 more than I thought we'd get. So,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
All right, well, again, let's see if we have anything to talk about next week. On behalf of Gable Montoya and David Duenes on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network, till the next round, goodbye, everybody.